I remember just a few months ago, I had an opportunity to travel down to Florida for a few days. And among the various places I was in Florida, several of us dropped off some furniture at the local church. They had this really impressive space. I mean, they had a storage space, and they had this semi-annual kind of a Vincent de Paul sort of sale, and they had the spare room to actually store furniture for 3 months at a time and then sell it off. But, you know, we don't have the space here. But, you know, I was very impressed that the parish had this opportunity, and we were donating this furniture. It was very nice. And I remember it was two loads, and we got there with the first load, and I helped unload the truck, and the other person I was riding with started talking to the pastor. And I went out and I sat down in the Florida sun. It was cold up in Illinois, and I was just sitting in the Florida sun. And if you understand just how funny that is for me, it's actually kind of hilarious because I despise the sun, and trust assured, it hates me too. So when I say I sat out in the Florida sun, I was actually sitting in the shadow of the building, and I was watching the parking lot. It's a very busy place. There were people coming and going. It was incredible, the number of people going by. And I remember, in all the bustle and all the craziness and all the things happening, I saw one woman walking with what appeared to be two very heavy bags. She walked along, and she walked very slowly. And then she set the bags down, and she just stood there. And she caught her breath, and then she bent down again, and she picked up the bags, and she started walking again. And she didn't make it more than, I don't know, 30 feet. She set the bags down again, held her middle, just kind of breathed. And I walked over and I asked, "Are you headed far?" And she said, "Not really, but the food is very heavy and my back hurts a lot. And the baby, I think, is kicking." And I said, "Well, if you're not going very far, can I carry the bag?" They looked at me for a long time, and I think tired, just kind of won out over trust, and she said, "Sure." And so I bent down and I picked up the groceries, and I started to follow her. And we walked across a busy four-lane street, we cut across a parking lot, started talking about how, even though a lot of people have been really nice to her, that in her recent time in Florida, things had gotten really hard. There were challenges constantly, and it was very, very difficult to try and see the next thing that would happen, and she was just hungry. And it turned out that the parish where we had just left had been distributing food literally at that time. And that was the only place she could get food, so there she was. And even though she didn't think she had the strength to do it, and she genuinely had no idea how she thought she was going to carry these groceries home, she had to try. She had children to feed. And we walked along, and finally got to a row of houses, and we're moving along the row of houses, and it was fascinating. I just walking along thinking to myself, you know, one or two more turns and I would be thoroughly lost, and I have no idea how to get back to where I'm supposed to be, and I've never been to this place in Florida before, so that ought to be exciting enough all by itself. And it was interesting to me because one of her neighbors, she said she was just three houses more down, so we were almost there, and I knew we were almost there, and one of the neighbors, He was working on something in the yard. He had something in his hand. I'm guessing it was an alternator, but that's really not part of the story. He set it down, he ran over to her, and he saw me. And he immediately ran up to her. He didn't look at me, he ran up to her. And he said, "How's everything going?" And she looked at him, she goes, "Oh, fine." And I think, I'm not exaggerating, he was afraid of what I was going to do. I have no idea why. I mean, I'm just an innocent soul of 6'1 and 300 pounds, and you have no idea who I am. I'm just some stranger wandering along with this tiny, petite, little pregnant woman, you know? How could that possibly look dangerous? He said, "Are you sure?" And at that point, I took a step back because I didn't want him to take a swing at me. And she said, "Oh, yeah." We walked down. He went, okay. He wandered back into his yard. I set the groceries down on her front porch because that's all she wanted. And I went home. I didn't even look back. At the very last second, she did say something, actually. I did have to pause. She said, "Hey, what's your name?" And I smiled and I said, "Well, most people call me Father Bernie." She said, "You're a priest?" I said, sure. At that church? Sure. Apparently priests don't carry groceries. We're not allowed. I don't know why, but apparently that was the rule or something. I'm fascinated by this. Why am I fascinated by this? Well, we've come to the end of the world. I mean this genuinely. We've come to the end of the world. This is the last Sunday of Ordinary Time, the Solemnity of Christ the King. This week is the last week of Ordinary Time. Next Saturday we will celebrate the first Sunday of Advent. We will celebrate the new year, and for me, I will celebrate for the first time in my life, actually celebrating three first Sundays of Advent in the same parish consecutively. So it'll be an exciting adventure for all of us. But we come into this in so many wonderful ways. And the thing that fascinates me, I genuinely mean this, and I truly, truly am amazed. And it's just one thought. As we look at Matthew, what we look to is the end. In the Renaissance and the Middle Ages, every church, somewhere in the church, either on the front doors or on the back wall, those are the two most popular places, would have a depiction of the final judgment. Because we think about the end. People started to think it was a little too morbid, so they took them down. They said, everybody knows they're going to die, so we don't need to remind them of that. But it was a reminder of the last judgment. It was a reminder that one day, we're going to die. We will stand before God. And he will ask us what we did with our lives. And genuinely, we should, hopefully, be striving for that great goal of heaven. But the thing that fascinates me happens here in Matthew. The king says, come, you who are blessed by my Father. And he explains why you're entering the kingdom of heaven. And they look at him, and they're surprised. They're genuinely surprised. They look at him. When did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or homeless, or naked, or a stranger, or in prison? I remember my life. I don't remember you being the one ever I saw. And he says to them genuinely, when you do it for these least ones of mine, and which ones are they? Well, he doesn't specify. He says, the least ones of mine. Which ones belong to God? Which ones are his? Are bad people part of God's people? Yeah. They're his creation. Are good people part of his creation? Absolutely. Are the, not necessarily bad, not necessarily good, but somewhere in the middle part of God's creation? Of course they are. And the question falls, and this is where I'm most fascinated. It's a surprise to them. Because so often we face in our own lives a challenge where we know we're supposed to see Christ in all people. We're supposed to go out and engage the people of God wherever we go. We're supposed to see Christ in those others. But I'm telling you right now, and genuinely I'm telling you in all truthfulness, it is sometimes very hard to see the face of Christ in those who struggle. For whatever reason that is. Whether they seem ungrateful or they run up from their front lawn and they're about to hit you over the head with an alternator because they don't know what you're going to do, or whatever it may be. Because it's not easy to see the face of Christ in those who struggle. We might say to ourselves, well, you know, people are doing good things, you know, they're feeding the hungry, they're clothing the homeless, they see God in those people, that's because they're good people, you know, and they can see God in them, and that's why they do it. That may be for some of them. But I'm telling you right now, it's not a guarantee. And if we decide to do something good, and we want to do something good for somebody, and we strive to try and help someone in that particular way, if we want to make someone's life better in some particular way, we might try and stretch ourselves and put ourselves out and try and make all that effort. And in the end, they might not even be grateful. They might snap back at us. They might be mean about it. They might just seem genuinely more upset by the fact that we did something at all. It is hard to see the face of God in people who are threatening to hurt you, or seem completely ungrateful about all the effort we put in. But you know what? It's the best kind of surprise. Because, here it is. They stand before the king, the one whom they know, the one whom they dedicated themselves to, the one whom is their king. And they are surprised at where they found the face of God. So too those who do not follow in God's ways. So too for those who don't Show mercy and love, feeding the hungry, and thirst to the and drink to the thirsty, and food for the hungry, clothing for the naked, ill and imprisoned and visited. It's hard to see God. But even in those difficult moments, I want you to consider one very simple thing. The goal in our lives is not the best job, or the most money, or the coolest stuff, or even the most number of friends. The goal in life is to get to heaven. And if we stay focused on that, even when it's difficult, we'll know Christ is in those least ones of His. Difficult, hard, challenging, but still our call from God to give witness to His love and His mercy. Not just Catholics, not just Christians, not just people who believe in God, but everybody invited by Him to give witness to that love.